Podcast.
The night owl you've turned out to be. I gotta get up every morning just to say goodnight to you. Well, one look at those bloodshot eyes and my head starts to hurt. You're coming home with alibis when I get up for work. A man as much as a man could take. So baby, quit staying out so late. I gotta get up every morning just to say goodnight to you. Dawn is your best friend. I'm telling you, gal, this better end. I gotta get up every morning just to say goodnight to you. For you to change your schedule is something that I doubt. Every day I punch the time clock about the same time you pass out. My morning coffee's your nightcap, you little all-night maniac. I gotta get up every morning just to say good night to you. I gotta get up.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Thursday, April 28th, 2022, 203 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How you doing, kids? You're at jcontheline.com. I'm JC, and here we go. So I don't really know what, and this is going to upset some people, because I think I'm going to take the position opposite the Cardinals. This has been going on since the Tony La Russa days. Not so much during the Whitey days, but during the Tony La Russa days, where the beanball seems to be in their arsenal with everything else. Now, I respect Tony La Russa, and he had a very, very firm policy about beanballs, about when it's used, how it's used. He didn't like throwing at guys' heads. He always said that, your pitchers on the other side there in the other dugout, your pitchers are responsible for where the ball goes. So, yeah, you can pitch inside, you can pitch high and inside, but if you are irresponsible with the way you are throwing the baseball, that is on you. And if it happens too often, we definitely have that in our arsenal, and we are going to counterattack. You hit our guy, we're going to hit your best player. So these guys have been playing beanball all week and throwing way inside. And then the other thing the other night where the Mets pitcher basically said, look, these baseballs are shit. These baseballs are inconsistent. We know that there's more than one kind of ball. And this is something that Major League Baseball did a couple of years ago where they're like, well, you know, we're going to make don't say anything. There's clearly something going on with the baseballs. They're all manufactured in Costa Rica, by the way. Every baseball that has ever been used in a Major League Baseball game, manufactured in Costa Rica. So the pitchers now are officially complaining about it, and it even made it onto NBC News last night.
Baseball is facing a growing controversy. Less than a month into the season, there's been a sharp rise in New York of batters hit by pitches. As Miguel Almaguer explained, some players are blaming the balls themselves.
We've been told this is a fluid bullpen.
It's a painful part of the game that can stun a crowd.
Times. First pitch.
Or incite a bench clearing brawl like it did today.
Both benches clear.
But this season, heightened sensitivity in New York to batters beamed by baseballs. Through just 20 games.
And Marte is hit.
Mets players have been plunked 19 times. Pete Alonso took his second shot to the head this week. Pitcher Chris Bassitt says the problem is inconsistent baseballs.
The MLB has a very big problem with the baseballs. I mean, they're bad. Everyone knows it. The MLB doesn't give a damn.
But the league says MLB is always concerned about keeping hitters safe from dangerous pitches. We will continue to monitor.
Batter safety is the biggest issue. A pro pitcher can throw a fastball at 100 miles an hour. That gives the hitter about 375 milliseconds. Or that long to get out of the way.
Tonight, a big league problem that's throwing MLB a curve. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
Now, unfortunately, because that was just the audio, you didn't see the video, which was very, very compelling because they strung together just one beanball after another. And you see these baseballs bouncing off these guys' heads. And, you know, even if you weren't a baseball fan, I'm sure you were sitting pretty close to the TV last night watching this if you were watching Lester Holt and NBC News last night. This, of course, goes back to the argument that Andy Van Slyke and I had. Now, Andy and I sort of lived in the same neighborhood for a while, and I would periodically see him at restaurants and places like that. And this was right after the Kenny Rogers incident. And I'm not talking about the coward of the county guy or the gambler. I'm talking about the pitcher for the Detroit Tigers. And you go back to 2006, and it was cold in Detroit. You know, it was cold, very cold, in the 30s at game time. And Kenny Rogers, clearly, you could see this giant glob, this brown glob that was sort of on his inner wrist, and he was using that to get a better grip on the baseball. And the TV cameras just got a really, really clear shot of it. And Andy, you know, being true to his team, the Detroit Tigers, he was a coach for them at the time, you know, just sort of ridiculed people who were making a big deal out of it and saying that, oh, it was a melted Hershey bar. It's a melted Hershey bar. Well, you know, first of all, temperature was about 38 degrees, and a Hershey bar ain't going to melt when it's 38 degrees. That's number one. Number two, I mean, you know what he was doing. He was trying to downplay the whole thing and just poo-poo the whole idea that maybe his team was cheating. And I ran into Andy at Brio over there on Lindbergh, and I sort of got into it with him. And I've known Andy for a real long time, and so you can talk to him. Andy, by the way, lives next door to Mike Bush, and he has a batting cage in his basement. You know, you go downstairs and you expect to see a pool table and rec room or something like that, but it's like one of those big houses in the Chesterfield area, and you go into the basement, and it's like, and I would imagine that the sound might be an issue too if he's down there. Yeah, you know, whack, whack. But Andy stood his ground. He's like, look, if you talk to the players when it's that cold out, the players, the hitters will tell you they'd rather have a pitcher with some sort of sticky substance somewhere so he can get a grip on the ball, because you don't want a pitcher out there on the mound who can't feel the tips of his fingers and doesn't know where the baseball is going. As a hitter, you don't want that. And I sort of was like, I sort of rolled my eyes, like, yeah, whatever. And I think I sent a bottle of wine over his table along with a melted Hershey bar. Good morning, everybody. Well, you know, I should have listened to the professional, because now pretty much everybody is saying it. And this was before the controversy with the baseballs themselves. But here's the thing. And you can argue the validity of the claim about the inconsistency of the baseballs. But here's the thing. You can't hit five players in a three-game series. You can't hit five different players, one of which was in the head, and expect the other team not to retaliate. And you could feel it coming. You could feel it coming. And so sure enough, Nolan Arenado, he wasn't even hit by the pitch, but you could see what was going on. The bench is empty. Now you have, you know, you have the aftermath of the entire thing. Baseballs, by the way, are not being hit as far, and home runs are way down so far this season. Major League Baseball teams so far averaging just 0.9 home runs per game and just 4.6 runs per game overall. Those numbers, if they would continue, would be the second lowest home run average and the lowest runs per game average over the last 30 seasons. Throw in the fact that the league is batting a miserable 231 average. And they took all the batting averages throughout all of baseball, averaged them out, and the hitters are only hitting 231, the lowest number in that category by far over the last 30 years. Major League Baseball has a huge problem. We know that people, it's not necessarily home runs or offense, quote-unquote offense, but there should be more action going on. There should be more base running. There should be more of the ball being in play. Those numbers are way down. They're over 30% down since the 70s. Major League Baseball is being relegated to just, you know, home runs and strikeouts. That's pretty much the entire game. And people want to see guys running the bases. You know, too many of the suits in New York running MLB think it's about home runs, and it shouldn't be about home runs. You know, you talk to a good baseball fan, they'll tell you probably a triple is more exciting, although it does depend on the situation. There's nothing more exciting than a key home run in a game. We all know that. But still, this is why whitey ball was so popular back in the 1980s. Plus, you had the artificial surfaces all over the place. I remember Gene Shalit. Gene Shalit, huge baseball fan of the guy who did the movie reviews for the Today Show on NBC. And he was a huge Mets fan. We used to have him on the air all the time. We just, I don't know, we struck up a friendship with the guy who would be calling the show from New York all the time. And he was a big, big baseball fan, really enjoyed the rivalry between the Mets and the Cardinals, but he was a big Mets fan, and he really did not like whitey ball. He hated it. He called it bounce ball, because he said, you know, all you do is you just stick the bat out, the ball bounces on the artificial surface, and the next thing you know, Vince Coleman is standing on third. But, you know, it just depends on whose ox is getting gored here. And we loved whitey ball. And, you know, somewhere in the middle is probably where the truth is. And that's usually the situation anyhow. If you could just get baseball to move a little more in that direction and a little way away from what they're doing right now. But if you're jacking around with the baseballs, you know, and the pitchers don't feel comfortable with the balls, and now you have beanballs happening when you're just trying to go inside on a guy, you know, they got to fix this stuff. But the people who are running Major League Baseball, keep in mind, they're the same ones who jammed the DH down our throats in the National League, which we never wanted. Oh, and by the way, now it turns out the story yesterday is the Yankees used their dugout phone to relay stolen signs in the 2015 and 2016 season, and the commissioner appears to have hid the truth from the public when he said in a statement back in 2017 that the Yankees had not cheated. Well, now we know the Yankees were cheating. So as suspected, even the commissioner is not being truthful about things. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Yesterday, Dr. Fauci says we're no longer in a pandemic. This morning, he said that's not exactly what I meant, because everybody went running with it. And it's like, of course they're going to go running with it, because if Fauci, you know, says this, if he does. Wait, hold on a second. Here's Laura Hediger. Hold on a second. Where is she?
Here for you. And now that Elon Musk is well on his way to owning Twitter, he's having a bit of fun joking around about the other companies he should buy. This is the first tweet I saw this morning, and it said, "Next, I'm buying Coca-Cola to put the cocaine back in." Whew, Coke did have some cocaine in it up until about 1929. And then Musk tweeted a fake tweet that someone had photoshopped, which said, Now I'm going to buy McDonald's and fix all the ice cream machines. To which Musk said, listen, I can't do miracles, okay? I've seen so many of these fake tweets about things people want changed with companies, and they've really given me a laugh this morning.
Yeah, so hey, the guy's got a sense of humor, huh?
I think that's one thing he definitely has.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one thing Elon Musk has, is a sense of humor. I'm mystified by this Laura Hediger phenomenon. And then somebody sent something to me, like, why don't you like her? She's so real. Like, you ever seen her without makeup? I have. You wouldn't recognize her. And by the way, her hair isn't blonde, it's brown. And I will only say this, that people in television will often put up their demo reel on the internet. A demo reel basically is little snippets, little samples of the stories that you have done throughout your career. And you put that together in like a little 2-3 minute segment. And then you send that out to television stations around the country, or your agent does. And that's how you get a bigger, better job for more money in a bigger city. And as long as you have this thing made, you go, well, let's throw it on my website. Let's throw it on my Facebook page, whatever the case may be. Well, Laura made the mistake of putting up some videos of her before she got to St. Louis. And let's just say that somewhere between Cedar Rapids or wherever the hell she was before she got to St. Louis, she experienced a magical transformation of her breastular area. This chick was flat as a board, as we used to say in grade school. And then all of a sudden now, bum, 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 bum. It's like, where did those come from? So don't be telling me about how she's so fucking real. And now, where was I? Man, the Yankees cheated. I'm tired of talking about baseball. Although I should point out that there's going to be a lot of rain in St. Louis here over the next couple of days, and you're going to have to tiptoe through the raindrops here. You know, Albert came to the plate yesterday and struck out late in the game, but he will be in the lineup tomorrow night in all likelihood because Arizona's putting a lefty out there. So if for some reason you have tickets for Friday night's game, and I think Adam Wainwright's pitching for us. Plus, it's a Friday night. Just have some rain gear ready. They don't seem to be indicating that it's going to be a washout, but there will be a lot of rain in the area here right up until Saturday night, maybe even Sunday morning, and your chances of having the game interrupted with perhaps even heavy downpours and maybe even severe weather a little bit is definitely a prominent thing. I'm looking here on a piece of paper here today talking about the approaching weekend. Oh, I think I was talking about Fauci. Yeah, people are just turning him into a punching bag, even though he's the only guy I pay any attention to. And yeah, they've been wrong a couple of times, but they were, when they tell you something 2 years ago, they told it to you because they thought they were right at the time. And if the information turns out not to be the case 6 months or a year later, it doesn't mean that anybody, quote unquote, lied. It means that at the time they were dealing with a pandemic the likes of which we've never seen before, and when they told you something, they told you in all honesty, they told you because they thought it was true at the time. And when more that's what science is. You sit there and you go, I think the earth is flat. And then somebody comes along and says, no, actually, we think it's round. It doesn't mean the guy who said it was flat was lying to you. It means based on the information that they had at the time, that's what the guy thought. And when you had better information, better science, if you will, you come along and go, okay, well, let's correct that. The earth is not flat. The term malaria actually means bad air. Because back in the, what was it, like the 1400s, I guess it was, when they had a malaria outbreak, they really believed that it was transmitted through the air, that it was bad air. Malaria. Turns out it's not. And so when the pandemic hit and you were like washing down your groceries before you ate them, well, that was because at the time we thought that maybe the coronavirus was transmissible through countertops and that it would stick to surfaces in your mailbox and stuff like that. And then as time went on and we learned more and there was more science available, there was more data, they're like, hey, you don't have to do that. It turns out that this is all droplets that are transmitted through the air. So they're telling you, as this thing goes along, they're telling you what they think is right with the information that they have available at the time. And when that information is replaced with better science, they corrected it. Those are not lies. They're updates. Ancient civilizations used to look up at the sky and go, oh my God, the world is coming to an end. Look, the sun's going away in the middle of the day. It's a solar eclipse. But they didn't understand what was going on, so they're jumping off cliffs because they think the world is coming to an end. And then somebody comes along with, what? Say it with me. Better science? And says, no, you don't have to be concerned that the world's coming to an end. Here, look, let me explain how this works. Oh, okay. I wish Phil had been exposed to this information before he threw himself off the cliff when he saw the sun disappearing at noon. Getting tired of talking about this kind of stuff. It's interesting watching people turn on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. When it opened up back in the 90s, people were very, very excited. Everybody wanted to go. A lot of people made trips to Cleveland specifically for that reason. They have an amazing gift shop. It's probably the best gift shop I've ever seen for some sort of major attraction. And I always tell people, if you're going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, plan it for all day. You know, they got lunch counters there and stuff like that. Have lunch there. Get there when it opens, and you're going to be there until it closes if you really want to see everything. And one of the things I often tell people also is work into the thing about an hour to spend time in the gift shop, because you need that much time. It can be very, very overwhelming because they've got everything in that place. But as time has gone on, it's really irritating people. And again, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance actually occurred a couple of weeks ago, and you will see that on, I guess it's HBO. I think it's at the end of May. I'll have to double check that. But anyhow, it's getting closer. And when you look at this roster of people who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's not so much that it's irritating that they're in, it's that they're in at the expense of somebody much better who represents rock and roll, as opposed to like chic.
Good times. These are such good times.
Put them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Number one, it's not even rock and roll. Number two, it's a stupid fucking song. So where's these are bands. These are bands that are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, you know, you just sit there and you want to go, what? Kansas, Foreigner, Pat Benatar, Styx has never even been nominated. Bad Company has never been nominated. Blue Oyster Cult, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, The Guess Who, Jethro Tull. I'm going to be honest with you, I think the Monkees belong in there, okay? I think the Monkees belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Procol Harum isn't in. Steppenwolf is not in. Three Dog Night, Tommy James and the Shondells, War, Boston. Now, Boston pissed off so many people in the recording industry because Tom Scholz won a couple of lawsuits against the music industry, and so, you know, he's persona non grata. And if you ask him, it probably doesn't bother him one bit because he won the bigger fight, the more important fight. Grand Funk is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And two bands that are excluded, and I take this as a personal insult, as a personal affront, the Alan Parsons Project and Supertramp. You know, they always ask you that question if you're stuck on a deserted island and you could only have one CD with you and that was it for the rest of your life, what would it be? But I always say, take out the Beatles and the Stones and the Beach Boys, because that's everybody's answer. Maybe not so much the Beach Boys, that might be me. But anyhow, take the obvious choices out and now ask the question. And for me, I think the answer would be either the Alan Parsons Project or Supertramp. And again, it points to the fact as we approach the hockey playoffs, the Stanley Cup, you know, Dan Kelly, the guy who basically introduced hockey not only to the St. Louis area in 1967, but also to the entire United States population with the Sunday afternoon games on NBC. He was the play-by-play guy, and he had to, you know, what, he had like six teams in the National Hockey League at the time, meaning that about 88% of the United States of America had no hockey and there was no presence of the game of hockey. And somehow they had to make it interesting for people. They had to explain the rules. You know, you're sitting up there in the booth going, all right, let's go through this one more time. Here's what icing is. Here's what offsides is. And no star in the St. Louis Walk of Fame in U City for Dan Kelly. It's disgraceful. Then you realize, Alfred Hitchcock never won an Academy Award for a movie. I think they gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award, but he never won for any of his movies. And you can find injustices across the board. Look, Ted Simmons almost ended up not in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. I always say awards are great if you get them, but it's no big deal if you don't. But there are exceptions, and we just listed a bunch of them. What's next? It's like turning into an all-sports podcast here today. The first round of the NFL Draft, 7 o'clock tonight on ABC, ESPN, and the NFL Network. The next two rounds are on Friday, and the rest are on Saturday. Late night tonight, Kimmel is out now for some unknown reason. Colbert is still out with COVID. James Corden's got Molly Shannon. Christina Ricci on with Jimmy Fallon. Seth Meyers, Andrew Garfield, and Mary Louise Parker. Trevor Noah's got Beto O'Rourke. That's the guy who swings his arms around all over the place. Birthdays today, the object of the affection of red-blooded American men from sea to shining sea. Jessica Alba is 41 today. Penelope Cruz, 48, Bridget Moynihan, Tom Selleck's daughter, Erin, on Blue Bloods. She's also the supermodel that gave birth to Tom Brady's first kid. So you could argue the fact that she has the most valuable piece of Tom Brady memorabilia ever. She's 51. John Daly loves golf, sex, smokes, booze, and gambling. He's lost $55 million. Gambling. He's always horny, too. He says he has sex three or four times a day. Whatever. He's 56. Jay Leno, 72. And Anne Margaret. Oh, back in the day. Oh, back in the day. She's 81 today. 15 years ago today, Boy George chained a Norwegian male prostitute to his bedroom wall. For some reason, the cops didn't like that. And George was eventually convicted of false imprisonment. He only had to serve 4 months of his 15-month sentence. Remember the name Ashley Dupre? This goes back to 2008. She became known as Elliot Spitzer's call girl. Filed a $10 million lawsuit against the Girls Gone Wild folks after they dug up old footage of her getting naked and slutty back in 2003. She dropped the lawsuit 3 months later. For a hooker, she's pretty damn good looking. She's one of those high-priced, high-class, upper-end, rich guys, hookers, the girlfriend experience. Or as Borat would say, like sleeve of wizard. Got a check engine light on these days? Sometimes you just sort of drive around thinking, it'll go off by itself. And eventually, somebody says, you know, your check engine light is on. How long has it been like that? Right before the pandemic hit. You should probably check it out. The average cost of a check engine light repair, $393. The most common problem involves the catalytic converter, and the cheapest potential issue involves the gas cap. The oxygen sensor, that would cost you $243. That's the second most common issue with cars. Who knew? The oxygen sensor, $243. Spark plugs, $388. The mass airflow sensor, $320. The fuel tank cap, which is the best case scenario, it'll only cost you about $25. Ignition coils, $215. Fuel injectors, $421. Replacing the thermostat, $236. And two different issues involving the evaporative emissions purge, which will run you about $150 each. Least affordable place to live in the United States, Florida. And speaking of Florida, that's where the Rays play at Tropicana Field. Tropicana has created the first breakfast cereal you're supposed to pour orange juice on instead of milk. It's called Tropicana Crunch, and unfortunately you can't buy it. They're giving away boxes next week for National Orange Juice Day. It sounds absolutely disgusting. And California is going to release genetically engineered mosquitoes to stop the spread of disease. They hope to use a similar approach with the Kardashians. And with that, we say that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, April 28th, 2022. 203 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We're here just a little bit after 7 o'clock Central every weekday morning. If you have some podcasts, don't worry. We got them archived right here on the website. Email me, jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.